Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. On this episode, we catch up with Julia Castro, aka Fuerte Julia, when she was at the Boot Expo for Foil Dry. On this conversation, we deep dive into the world of women's sports and chat about why the bikini is at the forefront of female athletes chasing views and likes for their sponsors. We chat about the impact this has on women's sports and why this has to change. Next, I'd like to say a big thank you to our team. We have Frank and Stefan. Thank you very much, guys, for all of your hard work behind the scenes. Looking forward to working with you for the remainder of this season. Next, I'd like to say a big thank you to our partners. We have the Surfoil World Tour. Visit surfoilworldtour.com for upcoming events and additional tour information. Lastly, thank you very much to our sponsors for this season. We have Mystic, North Foils, On Kiteboarding. I'm really much looking forward to getting my new wings, and a few more coming soon, so stay tuned. Now I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to Foil Life. Whether you wing, kite, parawing, downwind, pump, or e-foil, thanks for being here. Hey, Julia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Luke. Super stoked to be here.
Yes, it will be fun. We're going to catch up on the boot. Today's what? Day number two, three?
I don't know. I don't even know. It's been like at least three, 4 days, even more maybe. In there. There's no light inside. So you don't even know that the sun is going down or up. So I don't even know. When did I arrive here? I think I arrived on Friday. So yeah, that's 5 days already.
Wow. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I think Frank is over there. He went over from the podcast. And we know Foil Drive is over there because you're representing them. And we got a couple other brands there. What's the feel of that event so far? Is it mainly yachting, boating, or are us wind people kind of stepping in as well?
Yeah, so you have 16 holes of pure jotting world, like all the different gadgets, boats. You have like actual jots inside the holes, like not a small jot, like big ass jots. And then you have hole 17, which is like the surf hole, they call it. And there you have, yeah, surf, kite, wing brands. And there's also this huge indoor pool. It's like 1.5 million liters of water. And we were located in there. And I can tell you the feel is so nice because we are 5 people in the booth, including me. And we're talking to people at all times. We have so many questions, so many people who want to come know more about Foil Drive. I'm super proud, to be honest, and stoked that so many people want to experience Foil Drive and how much fun it is, because it is it is amazing.
Huh. How long have you been doing collabs or working with those guys?
So the thing is that I was one day at the beach in my local home spot talking to a friend like, I want to do more towing, you know, because I did it a few times and it's so cool. But yeah, I need the jet ski. I need the trolley, whatever you call that, to put the jet ski on. I need where to store everything. I need somebody to drive. I need the gas. And then he looked at me like, but haven't you seen this? He brings out his phone and he shows me these videos of Foil Drive that I haven't heard about before. And I'm like, this cannot be true. This is sorcery. So I literally spend the next 2 hours watching videos. And after 2 hours, I was like, well, I have to write these people because I need to do this, like no matter what it takes. So yeah, I wrote Foil Drive, and long story short, now I write for them in the Pro Team Riders group, and I'm working for them doing marketing, content creation, and some other stuff for Foil Drive Europe. It's been almost
exciting.
A couple of years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really exciting. Wow. Because they're the first brand in the world to actually do a motor that you can put onto any mast. And really, when I saw it at first, I'm like, this cannot be real. You know, it must be some kind of weird product that doesn't work. But it works, and it's lots of fun. It's very addictive. For people who love to be on the water, you can just be on the water even more. So it's a perfect toy for the water crazy people.
Yeah, that's all of us. I haven't gotten to try one yet because in Canada, it's either wind-generated stuff. We don't really have clean ocean swell. But some of these other spots, I can't wait to hop on. We actually had Ben and Dominic on super early in the show. I think I can't remember what episode number now, but it was really early on. And I think they were on their V1 or something, and they were showing it. And it was pretty cool, actually, to see everything that they've come up with. All the modern, like, mass integrations now with all the different companies doing collabs with them. It's pretty cool to see. And then I think racing, there might be some racing stuff coming up next year as well, and having its own divisions in some of these different tours. So I don't know, crushing it.
You know, for me, something that was also so on top of being the first people in the world to do this, for me, something that was really breaking is that usually in the water sports world, it's like when you stick to a brand, you stick to that brand forever. And like you never write something else. You don't even talk about other brands. Not like very, this is my box and don't touch my box. And then Fallgrave came along and they were like, oh, Fallgrave, Slingshot, Armstrong, F1, Axis, you call it. Like, do you want to collab with us? And in the beginning, I think it was a bit shocking for the water sports world, like, collab? What do you mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't hate each other. So I love that from them, you know, especially for the customers. Like, hey, doesn't matter what brand you ride, you can still enjoy riding waves or going e-foiling or power-winging, winging. There's so many things you can do with it. So that's another thing that for me they did as a first ever, I would say, like to break this thing of it's only us. No, like, let's call up. Let's do something together. And doesn't matter what you ride, let's enjoy your gear.
Well, yeah, most of the time the company will just take it on to their own R&D and say, thank you very much, and let's develop it internally. There have been some, obviously, there's some good buyouts, right? Like, I know Ride Engine, their Ride Engine story is super cool as to how they ended up working with the original owner, and they bought out his company, and he was given a fair buyout, and they were able to get all of that research and all that data. A little shout out to Gary here about that. And I know there's a lot of other collabs going on, but yeah, it's nice that it's non-competitive. Everybody was able to work together and grow this kind of aspect of this. But you've had a heck of a couple of years though, haven't you? Like, we were talking a little bit before, and I'm glad to see you ripping and doing what you're doing now. Did you want to go into a little bit of that, of kind of how those couple of years were for you?
Yeah, it's been a ride. Mm-hmm. I pretty much went from there's this Instagram trend, like, nobody knows how hard it is, no? And they show themselves being on podiums and then being working on the supermarket. So I didn't exactly have that, but it is true. I went through a 2 to 3 year period of having a super bad shoulder injury. Like, I destroyed my left shoulder so bad. And whoa. Then when I was recovered from that, they discovered I was very lucky to be alive, because they found I was developing cancer. And it's like, holy moly, like, please, whoever is doing this, just stop, you know, it's enough. Thank you so much, but I just want to go back to the water. So I had to stop competition. Of course, before that, there was COVID. Let's not forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that it's pretty much since COVID that I haven't... Yeah, like in Spain, it was crazy, because for those who don't know me, I'm from Spain, Fuerteventura. And in Spain, we were literally at home. We could not get out of the house. We had the police, the military, the other police we have, all doing turns. So we had COVID, we had my shoulder, then the other thing. So it's been so many years of struggle and having to maintain myself in other ways. The good thing of that is that some sponsors dropped me, some others cut my budget significantly. Mm. So I didn't stay home crying. I was like, okay, I need to go out work. And there's this one thing I had been doing over the years, but a little bit only, which is social media for sport events.
Okay.
And yeah, being able to not be on the water, but being able to use my hands, my phone to record and show film events, interviews, I started getting more into that. And now I have to say it's like 60-70% of my life is more the events I work at than me competing or actually creating content for my sponsors. And
cool.
On one side, I'm super happy because I love my job. Like, I get to travel the world just like I was doing, but mm-hmm. creating stories, finding the stories, filming awesome boats. But I do miss my pro kiteboarder times, you know, when I was competing and filming around. So, yeah, I'm in the middle of nowhere right now, figuring out what to do, how to juggle everything, and yeah, it's fun times all in all. I try to be positive. It's good. I'm healthy finally. I'm working.
Okay.
I'm filming for my sponsors.
So everything is clear now. You've been given the good bill of health, and you can kind of continue to get back into what you were before.
Yes. Now the only thing that is missing that people sometimes forget about it is the euros to go back competing, because it is quite expensive. We do need sponsors. And
yes.
Yeah, this whole thing about social media, you know, has changed a lot how athletes do things. Like before, if you were good at competition and you knew how to talk a little bit, you could get sponsors. But now you need to suddenly be famous in social media if you're not even good at social media, but famous. So it's changed the game. And I'm figuring out how to play this new game.
My 400 Instagram followers is not going to land me a $1 million sponsorship. What's going on?
I have the feeling it may be very difficult unless you know the owner of those $1 million. You know, if you know him, he may want to give them to you. But otherwise, the game has changed.
Do you find that's both for guys and women as well? Is it changed for both? Is it just that companies are finding other ways of marketing? Is it just more competitive?
It's a big question. It's a big question you're going into. On the guy side, I feel like they have to go more and more and more and more extreme, which is fun to watch, but it is a bit scary in a women's mind. Like, you guys are gonna kill yourselves.
Yep.
We've had accidents in the past with people in hospitals, comas, broken ankles, not being able to almost walk again. So guys have to be more extreme to be in the game. And then girls, we all know what girls have to do, which is sadly sadly we have to wear less clothes. And I'm really strong at my OnlyJumps account. I couldn't help myself but make fun about it, because it is tough, you know?
Yeah, like, it's bullshit.
I have the feeling that right now, thank you for calling it out. But you know, if you're not wearing a very small bikini right now on the water sports world, I have the feeling you're not relevant. And some people will say, yeah, but you should be happy because finally women can wear whatever clothes they want. And I'm like, yeah, well, you're right. It is true that we don't have to be fully covered anymore and we can still make a living out of it. But on the other hand, how free are you really of choosing if you want to be almost naked or not? You know, are you actually free? Or if you're not wearing a small bikini, nobody will see your content. You know, so I myself, I'm fighting that. Like, I do not. I of course I wear bikinis. You know, I wear, in Spain we wear very small bikinis, and I love my small bikinis. And I could show off the body I have because I train very hard and I'm an athlete. But is that what I want to be remembered for? Is that the legacy I want to leave? Right now I don't think that if you are not wearing a bikini, you can have living in water sports. Like, if you don't wear a bikini, your content is just not getting out there. You're not getting the followers. And this is what I'm fighting for, you know, to give the girls that are coming behind me the chance. Like, do you want to wear a bikini? All good. Happy for you. Like, stoked.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want to wear a damn wetsuit or a t-shirt or, you know, that's also okay.
Yeah.
You can also make a living. You can also compete. Like, you can be a professional water sports, whatever, without having to be half naked. Like, having the option would be nice. You know, at the moment, I don't think we have it.
No, I don't think so. And if you actually did the research into the social media to see who is following and what followers you're gaining, these aren't people that are, like, I would assume a large majority of it are not people buying gear. So it's like, how are they actually?
It reminds me of a conversation I had with a friend. Let's call him Frank. And my friend Frank was like, Julia, but you should do more content like this Anna person. Let's call her Anna, right? Like, you should do more content like that because, you know, you can do it. And I'm like, maybe you could talk to her. I'm like, well, I know her. I know Anna pretty well. Like, we've almost even lived together. But I don't really think I want to do that type of content. And my friend Frank goes like, oh, but how do you know her? Well, now I'm giving more information, right? But we are teammates. And he was like, she writes for Dewton? And I'm like, well, that is the answer. Like, doesn't matter how many followers does some of these girls have. And they, and my friend who is in water sport, he knows the brands. He's on the water every day. He didn't know what brand she was riding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so then it comes down to return on your own. Yeah, and that's exactly what we've been fighting quietly on our end. We've talked to two or three, four different brand managers right off the bat, because some of these girls are 15, 16, 17, getting into the water sports. And it's not the direction that you want to promote. And their brains are still developing. They don't understand what attention means. And it's like they're still very innocent in how they operate and how they think. And then you have all this going on. So, yeah, we back you and we fully support what you're doing. And that's what we brought up is like, what can you show us the percentage of people that are getting gear or where these people are within the world? And or are these just a bunch of people from a country that doesn't even have water or whatever, and they're just looking at stuff? So yeah, it's a problem, and pushing guys too far, because there was a couple accidents and a couple, like a death this year. It's the same thing. Everybody is trying to attract more people to the sport, and they're thinking extreme or OnlyFans content is like,
are we doing that?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. If your daughter's going to go into it, and it's going to, like, you don't know what kind of, because one question I had is, hey, so you have like the 17 or 16-year-old world champ that's going to Morocco. Morocco already has a lot of problems. It's already not safe sometimes for women. And then you have the guys that have access to the internet and they can see this. Is that, are you not endangering your your daughter by going to this place to compete? And it's an in-depth.
And you know, for me, the point is that you can do what you want, like choose whatever you want to do. It is not bad that you're doing bikini stuff, but the bad stuff is that everyone is doing that. And in that line, something that is very scary to me is that I, because of my job and being in water sports and having competed for so long, and I get to work with influencers for many other sports, or even like some people are not even in sports, they're just influencers. And many of those guys girls will have half a million followers, like even more. And a lot of people, those guys, to a lot of kids, they're idols. Like, I want to be like them. And for me, the big problem is that people does not exist. Like, you're following a woman who looks empowered, who looks like she goes to the gym and she's happy and proud of herself. And that person doesn't exist. Maybe that person, and we know, we've all heard this from so many women and from so many different accounts, like, that girl goes, when she closes the camera, she's going to go cry in her room or starve herself because she thinks she's fat or not being mentally, like, good at all. And I'm not calling examples, I'm not calling people that. I know this happens to so many people. So kids are having idols that don't exist. They're not real.
Yeah.
and I find it so scary, you know? Like, I think of my little sister. She's now 18, but she used to be 10, 11, 5, 4. She had a phone already, you know? And she had all these idols that are people that don't exist. So like you were saying before, as brands, I think it's so important that we push the right people forward and that they're real people, because so many of those influencers, they just show you what they want to show you. They are not real. It's just scary because I think of my little brothers and sisters and it's like, that doesn't exist. Like, how do I tell them? How do I show them that's not real? So yeah, it's of brands, of us, of you guys.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I think it was every 10 minutes a woman was getting harassed on social media. And there was like, it's like sexual harassment stuff going on. And it was crazy. The numbers were insane. It was appalling to hear this. And then, so if you can, I'll forward this over to you. I think it may have been Rogan from the US, one of the top podcasters out there. He was talking about something like that. And because he had daughters and he was just appalled at the numbers. But like, if you think about it that way and we present these numbers too, it could maybe potentially slow down the industry. Yes, do whatever it is that you're looking for. But you have to just be aware of the consequences of that. And I swear there's other better ways to to sell, even talking about e-foiling, right? Because you were competing with SFT this year, to like getting more women into that sport. And there's a lot of brands out there, like even, for example, KT, because I was working with them in Maui, right? Their athletes are covered. Their athletes are like, the caliber that they have is absolutely insane. Like Marcelo Brown and Levi and Kai and Ridge rides for them. And all like some of the biggest names in the industry ride for Keith. And they're not necessarily like, yes, they're all extremely good and they're all pushing the limits, but the tone of their content is very different than other brands that we probably... So it's just some brands choose to stay away from it and some brands seem to feed right into it. And I'm not sure why. Yeah.
It's important to not forget that it's not all about the views. There's more behind it. You know, there's so much more behind a million views. Yeah. Why do you want a million views? Who do you want those million views to be? In the end, I think many brands don't realize the power they have, that when they post a picture, whatever the picture is, there's so many people seeing it. But that so many people have you, brand, person, whoever, as an example. So you are really shaping the way the industry is going to go. So it's so important what we do as athletes, but also the brands. And sometimes they don't realize, with some of my sponsors over the years, I've had meetings about this, like, guys, girls, let's not focus only on the views and on my work profile, let's say, like the events. I always tell clients, it's the first thing I tell them, I do not get you a million views. I don't work for the views. I get what I want to do for you, and what I'm going to do for you is get the best content possible, something that will teach people, something that will inform people, some beautiful content, magical, that people will dream with, but I am not getting you the views. If that comes with what we do, top, perfect. But my goal is not getting you the million views.
Yeah,
what is a million views? You know, yeah, it looks beautiful as a number, like I got a million views. But who is seeing that? So I think in the water sports world, some brands, key brands maybe, are getting carried away by the views. But then what is the value behind? And I think we have to remember that maybe value is better. No, quality than quantity. We hear it so often. But yeah, I'm going to keep fighting. Maybe only Jumps comes and offers me a lot of money to be half naked on my Instagram, you know? But do I want to do that and then not go to work in the Olympics, not go work
That's
with
the
all these
thing,
sailing
right?
beautiful brands, events, companies around the world? Like,
Yeah, there's definitely, you work your way down the brainstem, right? And it's like, but not every athlete does it. And I think, thank you for highlighting that. And it's good. It's a good conversation to be had because we have brought it up with several brands. Some of the ones that we thought were worse at it, we'll email them and we'll just be honest of how we think and feel. And it's at least we're heading into the right.
Thank you in the name of all the women. I thank you so much.
Yeah. You don't want your daughter to end up idolizing somebody like that, especially with the depression that leads to social media, especially like even for us guys, right? Like you'll be watching a pro athlete throw this down. It's like, well, what's the point of me even trying? I'm never going to get there, right? Like how am I going to enjoy my $4,000 foil that I just bought, but I can't ride like them? And the majority of our consumers coming in are what, 40 to 65? A lot of them are dudes. So it's like, and it's like, how are we making the older population comfortable? Are we gearing stuff towards knees and backs, and how do you do this or how do you get up for that? Or because that's one thing I talked to one brand about. So what's the demographic are you buying from? Is it the same that's listening to our podcast? And like, yeah, it's pretty similar. I was like, well, like most of those dudes are married. Do you think they're going to want to be sneaking off looking at a 17-year-old when they could just be looking at something that would be better for them? Like it's just it's anyways, that you go down that rabbit hole forever, but it makes sense that this stuff has to eventually kind of curtail itself into a better direction. But I don't know. That's why we're gonna foil drive
an
e-foil race, because you have to wear full protection when you're e-foil racing.
I mean,
you guys go so fast.
Well, in Abu Dhabi, in the SFT, I was quite surprised because before going there, I read a little bit on the internet how it is, like what clothes do I need to wear? Because I like to be respectful to where I'm going, you know?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And of course, in the private places, you can wear whatever you want. And even on the street, I saw people wearing whatever they want. So it's not as we are, it's not how we picture it. It's quite different, the reality. But I mean, I was wearing my bathing suit, maybe a little pair of shorts, just so my meats are covered, just because I was feeling more comfortable like that. And there was one of the competitors that was on her thong. And I was like, oh my God, like, okay, like you're going to get all the pictures and maybe the attention, but why would you do that in the Middle East? But I enjoyed the safety a lot.
Nice.
I was so sad that I missed the podium for this. Like, you know, you see this? So for this, because I chose the wrong mark. I went the wrong way. And I'm like, Julia, what are you doing? Like, it was...
Oh, no. Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. And I'm thinking maybe I could go back competing in e-foiling, especially now with the fusion of foil drive, you know, like 40% more power, so I can be up there with the e-foils. I'm ready.
I want to compete as well. So foil brand or e-foil brands listening, we want an e-foil and I want to compete. I think that would be super fun. The wing foil racing, forget about
it. I'm happy with foil drive, but look, let's get to a fusion.
Let's what, sorry?
Let's get you a fusion. I think you will.
Ooh.
You will be competitive. We'll be up there.
There we go.
If you're fast on your turns and you don't fall and stuff like that.
I think that would be so sick, actually, because it's somewhere thing you can do absolutely everywhere. And like we just talked with Agnes about how much fun it is and kind of the adrenaline you get off. She said it's more like racing a car. Wing foil racing is a little bit different, like trying to get top speed, but she said it's not the same. Do you find the same thing with foil drive and in e-foiling?
So I had never really raced before. I've done it 3 times in my life with a kite and with a wing. So I'm not a racer person. But the thing with a foil assist and e-foil is that you can literally go anywhere. With the wing, you have certain directions you can go to, right? But with the e-foil, you can suddenly choose so much more your angles. And yeah, I would like to explore the possibilities of racing. I think it's quite fun. It's something you can do everywhere. And if I'm not mistaken, the SFT is going to be doing foil assist divisions. And I would love to go into the waves with the foil drive because it's what I'm doing the most now. And I would kill to go get some amazing waves on my foil drive. Like, is the most beautiful feeling ever. So I'm really hoping the SFT will make it happen and I will be the first one on the line.
Oh, sick. We were talking to Mike Raper, a good buddy of ours, and he was saying that, he went on a trip recently and he caught so many waves. It was insane. And foil driving and stuff. And how does that feel in the wave? Is it heavy? Are you primarily riding your foil? Because a lot of us in Canada haven't even touched them yet.
We have to fix that, first of all. So I'm going to talk to Foil Drive and we're going to Canada as soon as possible.
You.
But then on the waves, I mean, for sure, it changes the how do you call it? I don't know the word now. But for sure, when you're foiling, usually you have a lot of front weight pressure. But the Foil Drive changes the dynamics of how the foil works a little bit. So suddenly, you're not putting so much front foot weight. You're suddenly putting a lot more in your back. And for sure, it's a little bit heavier. The max, which I'm using right now, is less than 5 kilos. And the fusion would be less than 8, 7. I don't know the numbers. I should know that. I should have studied before. But you're adding some weight for sure. And it's changing the dynamic on how you take waves. But then sometimes I go with my friends. They will go on a surfboard and I will go on foil drive. And of course, we're sitting on different lineups. I can see them, but I'm not on the same lineup because I can be way more upwind on a different wave, on a teeny tiny bump. And I will literally take 30, 40, 50 waves, even maybe more. I don't know. I think I lose count after so many proper waves and proper curves. And my friends maybe took 5 waves in the whole session.
Makes a difference.
It's people will say, but she's sponsored by Foil Drive. So what is she going to say? But as I was telling you in the beginning, I reached out to them. I wanted to do the product. I wanted to ride it. And I love it. So when I sell it to people or I give them the product to try, I can only do it with all the love I have for the product because I love it. It's so good.
I think that's the only way to sell something like that to people, because they'll feel the authenticity versus, especially in a yachting community, like there's a lot of money floating around there. And they're looking for really fun things to do, things to add to their boats. So you're in the right place. And I can't imagine all that talking you do all day. I'm pretty sure you're pretty tired at night.
Yeah, being here in Düsseldorf is perfect for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be. But it's funny because we're five people at the booth, literally five people, and we are talking pretty much all the time. I'm doing a bit more on the content side, so I'm filming a lot of that. We're going into the pool. We're doing a lot of product reviews and explaining about the product, so we're spending a lot of time on that as well when we happen to be free, before opening and after closing. But yeah, it's beautiful to see how this is developing. It's so cool.
What's next for you after boot?
So I think I bought a van here in Germany because it's so much cheaper than in Spain, an hour and away and a half away from here. So on Friday, very soon, I'm going to be picking it up. I'm slowly driving back to Fuerteventura. So it's a two-day drive, but I'm going to be doing it in whatever time. I have friends along the way. So I'm going to be stopping, foil driving. I brought my foil drive. I'm going to steal a battery from the boot. My boss doesn't know it yet, nice. But he will know tomorrow. And I'm going to be going down the way, snowboarding, going to get some foil drive sessions. It's okay. Sick. I'll tell him tomorrow. But I'm slowly going to be driving down back home. And then tomorrow, we're also having a meeting about all the events, because foil drives, one thing about foil drive that I love is that we do a million demos, literally a million. Like, we go all over Europe, in Australia and the US, doing demos completely for free. So people can come, try all the gear we have, smaller boards, bigger boards, bigger foils, smaller foils. So we're going to be doing quite a lot of that. And I need to understand where and how and when I'm going where. But at the end of the month, I'm going to be working in the Trofeo Princesa Sofia in Mallorca. I'm doing my social media and presenting job. And in the, yeah, that my jotting season is starting, let's say.
my jotting.
And hopefully I will be also competing in the SFT. I'm not sure.
Oh,
yeah, I know. Like, my Dominic laughs at me a lot when I say jotting. He's like, no, it's not jotting, it's yachting. I'm like, okay, yachting. That's all the English I can speak. You know, it was for a Spaniard. Give me the credit.
You're doing pretty good. It's like my French family in Quebec, they can't pronounce their H's in French. So they'll be saying ouse or all of these things. Like, what'd you say? What'd you say? But people here are hilarious. Like, there's a couple sayings in Africa that I had never heard before, but they say, can you borrow me this or borrow me that? I'm like, what? What'd you want? To borrow me your pen. And I was like, oh, you want to borrow? Like, you think they want to borrow you.
In Spanish, we say the same.
Oh, do you? Because there's like French and in English, obviously they're backwards. So the sentence will be
Spain
all conjumbled together.
Translation.
Oh, do you? Okay. Because that's one thing that's caught me off guard. My brain was like frozen. It's like, you can't borrow me, dude, but I guess you can have my pen.
What do you want?
Well, hey, that sounds like a pretty...
Yeah, languages are so cool. I think it's amazing.
How was growing in Fuerte, like a beautiful little island there off the coast? How was that for you?
Yeah, like to be honest, when I was a kid... like most of us, I didn't realize where I lived. It was just the place where I was born. I mean, there was no social media back then. There was barely internet.
No, nothing.
I wasn't allowed to use it for sure. Like that one laptop, big PC, you cannot touch it. Don't even look at it because it's so expensive.
Yes.
So you didn't really know what was around the world, right? And it's only when I started traveling, thanks to kitesurfing, and riding for Duton, that I got to see the world. And I was like traveling to all these places where it was supposed to be paradise. Like, oh, you're going to be traveling to this beautiful place. And I would arrive to this place and be like, well, my home is better. And then I would go to the next place, which is also supposed to be another paradise. And I'm like, my home is pretty similar to that. So after traveling half the world, I came back home and I'm like, so we live in one of the best places in the world. Okay, I get it now. And I think a lot of people also understood that. So now we're completely packed. There's way too many people in Fuerteventura. So if you're going to come, don't stay. We're too many at the moment, maybe in a few years. But growing up in Fuerteventura was awesome. Like, I was literally all day on the beach, on the water. I didn't surf. I didn't kite because it was sports that only the tourists do. I think you have that a lot in the Caribbean and in many other places where the cool things are for the tourists and they are too expensive for the locals. But we had internet, we had cars. So many questions I get from people. You know, we were Europe at the end of the day, so it was awesome growing up there in the nature. We don't have trees, but we do have nature. It was only later, like at 17, when I started kiting, and then realizing that I live in one of the best places in the world to do water sports. I maybe didn't have the best education in the world, you know, but I do speak my 5 languages and I studied a little bit here and there, and I have quite a cool job now. So there's some stuff that is bad, like everywhere, and some stuff that it's really good. So
That's cool.
That's
what it's on our list. I think Frank's been before. I don't know if he went there or if he went to another spot for his holiday this year, but it's on the list to go. My brother kites and we're always windsurfing and winging and stuff, so I'd be sick to go check that place out. But I know you should probably go rest.
I'll be your tour guide.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be sick, actually. Yeah, that'd be sick. Thanks for coming on today.
I woke up this morning with a bit of back pain, but thank you guys so much. It was a bit tough to have a date, but we finally had it. And thank you for letting me speak about all these topics and for being online with me, because it's so important that the message is shared, not only by us, but also by men. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. Thanks for being a forerunner on that. And I guess we'll connect and hope you enjoy the rest of the boot and enjoy that drive. I love that stuff. I'm always driving from like East Coast, Canada to West Coast. And we went to Yellowstone this year and a couple super cool parks in the US for like 2-week road trip.
Wow.
So those things are awesome. So I hope you have fun.
That's amazing. Yeah, cool. Follow me on Instagram,
Julia,
to see where I'm going to be going.
That sounds good. Thanks for joining. It was nice to chat with you. We'll chat with you soon, all right?
Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody.